Praise the Lord, saints. If I speak too fast, please stop me. Let us say together, out loud as we can, praise the Lord. Amen. All the glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to read the subject of the conference again, if somebody's late or haven't heard the title or didn't read it yet, so they would know what we're dealing with here. Let's read it together, the main title of the conference: Knowing, Experiencing, and Living the All-Inclusive Christ for the Genuine Church Life. We've come here to do what? To know, to experience, to live the all-inclusive Christ for the genuine church life. In order to know Christ, experience Christ, live Christ, we need the Lord to unveil us all the time. He would constantly reveal us what this means to know Christ, to experience Him, to live Him. Perhaps many of us have been saved for a long time. We've received the Lord as our Savior, as our Lord, and we gave Him our life. Praise the Lord for that. But probably every time we feel short. We would like to know Christ more. We would like to experience Him more, live Him more. I really like the title of the first message we heard today. It's being brought back to Christ Himself for the genuine church life. In fact, this whole conference has that goal, to bring us back to what? To Warsaw? No, bring us back to Christ Himself. Just as on the Mount of Transfiguration, we want to see Christ and only Christ. But in order to see that Christ, we need to move forward. That's why we go on to message 2. Perhaps we all can read the title of this message. For many of us, it may be something surprising, maybe not. Let's read it together. Taking Christ as our person, for the church as the one new man. Praise the Lord, we have that Christ. We received Him as our Savior. He entered our spirit. He regenerated our spirit. We have Him. We enjoy Him as our life. The matter of life in the church life, we emphasize it all the time. We need to turn away from the letter to life. We want to experience life, enjoy life. When you go back to the table with the books, perhaps you will see the word life the most often, and Christ. Christ and life, you will see that the most often on the titles of these books. We have that life who is Christ. This message tells us something more, brings us further, deeper, because it says that we need to take Christ not just as our life, but we need to take Him as our person. We need to receive Him as our person, just as the title says, for the church, as the one new man. Perhaps there's someone here for the first time in such a meeting. When we talk about the church, we often use many terms describing the church. When we talk about the church as the body of Christ, then we say that we need to take Christ as our life. But today, in the title, we have this puzzling phrase. It says that we need to take Christ as our person for the church as the one new man. For the Lord to gain what Ephesians 2:15 says, one new man, no Greek, no Jew, no Scythian, barbarian. He needs what's at the end of this verse. But Christ is all in all. When we talk about the church as the one new man, we need to see that we need Christ as our person. We need to take Christ as our person for the Lord to gain the one new man. Why do we need to take Him as our person for the one new man? Because in that one new man, there's only one person. And that person is not me, it's not Roman, it's not Tolik. Who is that person in the one new man? Christ. Christ is that one person in the one new man. Sometimes we may think that we meet in the church life. Perhaps it's not so clear today, but many times in the meetings we see many nationalities. We're a little different in that respect from other Christian groups, maybe not. But we may think that the one new man terminates the Jew, the Greek, and oh, we have the one new man because there are some brothers from Ukraine here, brothers from Poland, sisters from Ukraine, sisters from Poland, from Russia, from the United States, from all kinds of countries. We may think that we have the one new man just because of that. But this is just the beginning. No Jew, no Greek. But then it says, but all in all is Christ. That's why we need to know that person. We need to take Christ as our person. This message will be, I will speak with another brother. We will try to go through this outline. I will try to share with you what I saw. This subject, on one hand, when we read it, taking Christ as our person for the church as the one new man, this entire outline, when we read it, it may seem not very complicated. Quite simple. In its message. In many conferences, we may have very much more complicated outlines. This outline doesn't seem like it's very complicated. But we need to see that although these words seem simple, they are very profound, very deep. And these words, at least I can speak for myself, I need to experience. I lack the experience of these words. I really enjoy Christ as my life, but if I am to testify today how much I enjoy Him as my person, I don't know if I could testify that in the glorious way. But saints, the Lord needs to gain us in this, in, for us to gain that reality, to take Christ as our person. The hour is late. This is message 2. We just had dinner. we may kind of be falling asleep a little bit. But don't let your tiredness take away these words from you. Let's work together on this outline. We'll be reading it, through it together, so we can exercise our spirit, so we don't doze off. Let's read point one together. We need to take Christ as our person. This is the highest and richest experience of Christ. Praise the Lord. This is a very strong statement. We need to take Christ as our person. This is the highest and richest experience of Christ. What if we came to this conference and we didn't know that we were supposed to take Christ as our person? Where are we then in our experience? Perhaps it's not that bad in our experience. We need to see in the Word what it means to take Christ as our person. But as believers who listen, who read God's Word, when we hear such a statement that we need to take Christ as our person, something like that, for the church life, the question is, what should be our reaction? We hear this kind of word, we need to take Christ as our person. The answer is simple. Where does the word speak about this? We hear a statement like that, but why? Does the word say about this? Where does the word talk about this? Second question. Does anyone know any verses that tell us that we need to take Christ as a person? Anybody? You have any ideas? You can check it on the outline. Galatians 2:20. Ephesians 3:17. When we hear God's word, when we dive into God's word, when we hear the testimonies, we need to dive into God's word, so we can find these things in God's word. I would like to read these verses. 2:20, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. In this verse, this is the main verse for our meeting today, Paul says, I no longer live. It is no longer I who live. The I here is a person. But this person does no longer lives. Christ lives in me, in Paul. This is just a foretaste that this verse in the Word says that Christ lives in us. He lives in us as a person, not just as our life, as a supply of life, but as a person. Christ, whom we received as our Lord and our Savior, whom we gave our life to, whom we enjoy every day as our life. He is a person in us. He lives in us as a person. And the second verse, Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith. Who is that Christ? Christ is one who wants to make his home in our hearts. This is not a power, a force. This is a person. A person wants to have a home. And that Christ, who we read about here, is that person. This is why we need that Christ. We need to experience Him, receive Him as our person for the church life, as the one new man. Because that Christ Let's move on. We'll be revisiting certain things on and on when we share. Don't worry if we don't touch anything in detail at this time. Let's read point B. The Gospel of John reveals God's intention in His economy is to work Himself into us, not only as our life, but also as our person. In His economy, God wants to dispense Himself to us. This is what His economy is about. He wants to dispense Himself into us. But we need to see that when He dispenses Himself into us, He wants to give us unsearchably rich Christ, not as our life, but as our person. Apostle Paul, when he was writing the epistle to Galatians in 4:19, he compared what's happening in us in a spiritual sphere to a human birth. My children, whom I travail in birth until Christ is formed in you. Paul showed this reality here. He saw this reality, the reality that Christ, whom we received, is a person. That person coming into our spirit, regenerates our spirit, and dwells in our spirit. But that person wants to live, wants to grow, wants to develop in us. He wants to take over our whole being. He wants to be our inner man in our being. We'll see that later. The Bible says that we can receive Christ as a person, as our person. And this is God's desire. Interesting thing in the Bible is that there are pictures, illustrations, types in the Bible that we can use when we are teaching about certain things. One of the best pictures for us is the life of Jesus Christ. I was touched with the word that's in this point. Because in point B, the Gospel of John reveals that in His human living, the Lord Jesus took the Father as His person, and lived by the Father as His person. This message says that we need to take Christ as our person, but praise the Lord that we have such example in the Lord Jesus. In the Gospel of John, we can see this because He, in His human living, the Lord Jesus took the Father as His person and lived by the Father as His person. Oftentimes, when we're at a conference, we receive outlines. We only have verse references here. I wonder how many of us after a conference read these verses, go through these verses, because that's where this revelation is. This is the explanation of this word, but in the verses there is the revelation. We can do all kinds of things during a conference. We can look at the city. We can do many things, but I encourage you, when you are touched with something in a message, that you would go back to this and look it up in the Word. Although the Lord, as the Son of God, was almighty, He declared that He could do nothing from Himself. Because instead of living by Himself, He lived by the Father as His person. He chose that. That was His choice. He was Almighty. He could do something else. He could live by Himself. But He made that definite choice. He put Himself aside, and He chose to live by the Father. And I would like to read three verses to you. 5:19, 5:30, and 14:10. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son," He speaks about Himself, "can do nothing from Himself. If the Son can do nothing from Himself, then we also should not want to do anything from ourselves." Sometimes we may not understand that fully. Sometimes we may want to do something out of ourselves. But here it says the Son can do nothing from Himself except what He sees the Father doing. For whatever that one does, these things the Son also does in like manner. It says that He doesn't do anything. He does only those things that sees the Father doing. And the second verse, it says, "I can do nothing from Myself." The same thought. As I hear, I judge. And the previous verse, He saw. Here, He hears. As I hear, I judge, and My judgment is just, because I do not seek My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. In these two verses, we see that the Lord was in the presence of the Father. The Father dwelt in Him, was in Him. But the Lord turned away from Himself. He put Himself aside, and He was gazing at the Father. He saw what the Father was doing, and He did the same. He also heard. He didn't make His own judgments. He didn't seek His own will. But He heard what the Father has to say in a particular matter. And then the third verse, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words that I say to you," the Lord had that experience. He saw the Father, He saw the works of the Father, and He was doing the works of the Father. He heard the Father, He knew His will. He didn't have His own will. He took the Father's will as His own will. And here, it says that He spoke, not from Himself, but the Father who abides in Me does His works. When the Lord Jesus spoke, He spoke, but the Father worked. I don't know if that impresses you, but I'm glad that the Lord Jesus gave us this picture, this experience that living here on the earth, He practiced that which we are encouraged to do today. I would like to read the second sub-point. "Just as the Lord lived because of the Father, by taking the Father as His person, so also we should live because of the Lord, by taking Him as our person." This is a help to us today, that we can see how we can take Christ as our person. We have a verse here, John 6:57. "As the living Father has sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats Me, he also shall live because of Me." Something that really personally touched me, perhaps when you will be sharing, you can complete that experience. But I really enjoyed that in this verse that speaks that as the living Father has sent me and I live because of the Father. I live by the person of the Father. I take the Father as my person. And we see that picture of that life. We may say, well, the Lord was such a wonderful person, but how can we live that way? He was God. He is God. He was Almighty. But how can we live like that? And it says here, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. How can we live because of the Father? How can we live Christ? This is not the main thing that I would like to dwell on here. But how? How can we do this? Eating. So he who eats me. How can we take Christ as our person? We need to eat Christ. We need to come to God's Word. The Word is life. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit in our life. When we come to the Word, we receive the life supply. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we come to the Word, we come to a person. When we come to God's Word, and we feed on God's Word, God's being is being dispensed into us. His thoughts are being dispensed into us. That person wants to be wrought into us. This is an encouragement for the young people. How can we live Christ? How can we pursue Christ? This is the secret of our life. This person is connected to the Word, not just the letter of the Word, but that Word contains spirit and life. When we touch spirit and life in the Word, we touch that person. When we read God's Word, the mind of Christ is being given to us. Christ's thoughts. When we read a newspaper, the spirit of this world is being given to us. The thoughts of this world are being given to us. We're being constituted with the thoughts of the enemy who is behind all this. One sister was sharing that she listens to an audiobook of a book, Love Not the World, by Brother Nee. This world that God created is wonderful. But the one that we see is Satan's system. There's the thought of the enemy behind it. We may hope or think that this world is going in a positive direction. Of course, medicine, technology is developing. But we need to know that behind all that is happening, if we do not take Christ as our person, we may be taking in something else. The mind of this world, the mind of the enemy. What do we need? We need to take in a different thought from a different person. How? How can we receive another thought? There is no other way but by eating. By eating the Word. By feeding on in the Spirit. By receiving that person with all that person involves. When you come to God's Word, come exercising the innermost part of your being, loving the Lord. When God says in Isaiah that He loves us and He's our bridegroom, let's not say, okay, fine, good, yeah, great. I know this wonderful statement. If we hear something like that, the Lord saying, I love you, I give you my heart, we should say, amen. I also love you, Lord. I love you too. I give you my heart to you. In such an active way, we can receive Him. We can take Him in as our person, as our life. See, we saw What we saw, we saw. Let's move on. Amen. In point C, we get a little deeper. Our regenerated spirit is the inner man with the indwelling Christ as its person. This is a point of truth, which is revealed in the Word. Most of us know. The Bible says that there is an outer man and the inner man. We need to see this in the context of taking Christ as our person. This is quite important in our experience. The Bible reveals this. You have to believe me that it is so, that there is an outer man and an inner man. Simply speaking, when we were created, we were created with a body. Young people can tell us. We were created with the body, with a soul and a spirit. That's what we consist of by creation. Where is our person among these three parts? In our soul. When we were created, we as a person, our person is in our soul. The Bible calls us souls. This outer man that we see in creation consists of the soul as our person, and also our body that expresses that person. And our body contacts the outside physical world. And then we have another organ. The other organ is our spirit. And the function of that organ is mainly contacting God and contacting the spiritual sphere. Let's read through the subpoints to move a little faster. If he would take Christ as our person, we must see. That's why it's so important. If we would take Christ as our person, we must see that our regenerated spirit is no longer merely an organ for us to contact God, but is our person. This is a revelation. We need to see this. When we receive the Lord as our Savior, the Spirit entered our human spirit, regenerated our spirit, and something happened in our being. It's not that we think we're higher than other people, but we are different to the people who are outside. Not because we are meeting here, not because we have this book and we carry it with us, but because He regenerated, the Spirit of God regenerated our human spirit. That spirit, the regenerated spirit, is our inner man. And that inner man, that inner being, our spirit, our inner man is our person today. That Christ in our spirit is our person today. We sang that in the hymn, 1179. But there's a person in my spirit now. If you were late for the singing of that hymn, you missed the whole message. You missed the whole message. Those who just kind of sang, maybe without paying attention, also missed something. I was surprised. I highlighted that stanza. I wasn't sure what I will say, but this whole hymn speaks about that. This message is that hymn. 2. In our inner man, we have Christ not only as our life, but also as our person. This is a fact. When we were regenerated, when our spirit got regenerated, Christ came into it to dwell in it as our person. And now we have an inner man. We have an outer man. Still, we keep having the outer man. Paul wasn't confused in Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. He stated a fact. And it is no longer I who live. Who does not live? This is our message together. The old man does not live. The old I. That old man has been crucified. This is a fact in God's eyes. This is God's reality. We still can live by that old man. That life was not exchanged. It's not that the life of Christ came and exchanged our old life. But Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now have. So there's still a life which he has. At the life which I now have, I live in faith. In faith of the Son of God. This shows this reality. When Christ regenerated us, when he dwelt in our spirit, there is a person in our spirit. Our body is still an organ that contacts the physical sphere. But the function of the soul has changed. Our soul and our inner man is not the person anymore. It is an organ which expresses a better life, a higher life, expresses Christ. This is the secret. In our inner man, we have Christ not only as our life, but also as our person. I was very encouraged by these verses here. Many unbelievers, they don't believe that they may not have life after death. You know, they wonder about the eternal life. I really like to quote that verse in a very simple way. It's 1 John 5:11 to 12. And this is the testimony that God gave us to us eternal life. And he will not take it away. That life is somewhere. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. It shows that when we receive Christ, we receive a person. And the life is in that person. When we receive Christ into our being, he lives as a person in us. He's born of God, but the person is small. It's like a babe. It's what Paul was saying to the Galatians. That God was born into them, but they drifted away. He needs to be formed in them. Point 3. Our inner man consists of our renewed soul as its organ and our regenerated spirit indwelled by Christ, the person, as its life and person. I hope it's clear to us all that our inner man consists of renewed soul. This is Romans 12:2. It talks about our mind being renewed. And that our soul is an organ that expresses, is not our life, our person anymore, but is an organ to express. So that God could be expressed through us. we do not reject our soul. We do not exalt it as itself, but we exalt it as something that's Christ in it. When we preach the gospel, we say, you know, about the glove, you know, when, you know, God is like a hand coming into a glove. It's not that this glove is not necessary, not needed anymore, but that the glove can express a different life, a higher life. Therefore, when we receive Christ, our inner man consists of our renewed soul as its organ and our regenerated spirit indwelt by Christ, the person, as its life and person. We have that Christ in our inner man. We have also our outer man. So what should we do? Point 4 says we should live in our spirit as the inner man by taking Christ as our person. All these verses speak that we need to be strengthened into our inner man. We need to be strengthened with power into our inner man. For what? So that life in us, which is small and weak, could develop, could take over our being. The church life, the Christian life, when we meet, should be about us taking Christ as our life. Christ, who is not in our soul, because this is our outer man, this is the I that Paul talks about, that was crucified in Romans 6:6. We should not live by that life, but we have another life. And that life is Christ in our spirit. Practically speaking, our life is not about correcting ourselves, being spiritual. If we live a life that causes us to be better people, or maybe more spiritual, but there's no Christ in this as a person, then it does not matter at all. On the contrary, religion is everything that replaces Christ to us. If we do something, even for God, when we do not take Christ as our person, everything is in vain. This is why we need to get deeper in our experience and take Christ as our person. Sometimes in the church life, somebody new comes and asks, do you have any rules or regulations in the church life? Sometimes we, you know, some people call us and they ask us, can we dress like this for the meeting? Is it okay or not? It's possible that being with believers for many years, we may have all kinds of advices, but these are not the rules of the church life. In the church life, we don't have rules, regulations. But we have a high standard. There's a certain law in the church life. The law is that each one of us should be Christ in the church life. I do not attain to that law. I need to repent. I need to confess that I do not live Christ. That Christ is not that real in many things to me. I do something in my life, and I do not talk to him. Sometimes I hear his voice in me not to do something, and I do not allow him to have his way, to take over my thinking, to have an impact on my thinking. I live by myself, just as I want. But praise the Lord, we do not have any regulations in the church life. But we do have that high law, high standard, and that standard is Christ. There can be only Christ. D. We need to deny. Earlier we talked about our spirit, that it's our inner man, but in D, it talks about something else. If we want to experience Christ as our person, we need to see this vision that we have an inner man with Christ as a person in our spirit. We need to strengthen it. We need to live by that person. We need to feed that person. Let's read together point D and point 1 and 2, no 3. We need to deny our former person, our soul, and take Christ in our spirit as our new person. According to Galatians 2:20, as regenerated believers, we have both the I, our former person who has been crucified, and Christ himself, our new person. Our former person has been crucified with Christ, and Christ is living in us as our new person. Consequently, it will be no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. This is the other side. We see the other side here. We have an inner man in us, and we need to strengthen it, live by it. But we also have our old man with us, our outer man. What about that? It talks about Galatians 2:20, that we need to deny our former person. In our Christian life, we have a choice. We have a choice. We can live in our soul as our person and live by what we want, what we like, what we don't like, how we want to live. And Paul talks about that. But we need to see the fact that our old man, our outer man, has been crucified, and now we have a choice. We can deny that former person. Denying is something active in our living. If we strengthen our spirit, if we live by in our spirit and we exercise our spirit, then that inner man will be stronger. It will be easier to make all these choices, decisions. When you receive the Lord, we have our old man and our new man. And there is a situation. Something happens in our environment. Something we would like to do in the world, especially young people, with our friends or in business. And we move in that direction. We make a decision. And suddenly that other person says no. And the question is, what do we do then? We need to be those who will achieve such growth in life that we'll be able to deny our former person, our soul, life. Perhaps I will not focus on that point that much. Please pray through that point. But I was very touched with something that's key to that point, key perhaps even to the entire message, that's point D3. To take Christ as our person is not to force ourselves to submit to Him, but to live according to His preferences because of our love for Him. We just need to love the Lord. Really, we need to love the Lord. We need to spend time with Him. We need to feed on His Word. We need to love Him. says that we should not force ourselves to submit to Him. It's very practical. Many times in our Christian life, we want to be for the Lord. We want to be spiritual. So we force ourselves to do certain things. And then it turns out that there is no Christ in this. We need to deny our natural life, deny our soul life. But this will be possible only when we love the Lord. Just think about your own situation, even if you're in your human love. When you love someone, you can deny yourself. You can put yourself aside, turn away from what you need, what you want. It says here that we should be those who love the Lord. There's the secret in 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. It's because of this. We need to come to Him. When we come to Him, He will pour Himself into us as love, and we will love Him. I missed many things in all these points, but the last two points, very quickly. What is first is not taking Christ as our life, but taking Christ as our person. He who has the Son has the life. If we do not take Christ as our person, that means we will not talk to Him, we will not turn to Him, we will put everything aside related to the new man. If we receive the Lord, Christ lives in each one of us who receive the Lord. This may be controversial, but do you know that we can imprison Christ in us, in our spirit, not allow Him to spread to our being? When we receive Christ as our life, it's possible that we come to the meeting, we exercise our spirit, we may enjoy something very much of that life, then we go out and the Lord may touch us. You have not seen that sister for a long time or that brother. You should come up to her or to him and apologize, explain something. But then we say, Lord, do not touch that. I exercise my spirit, I sing hymns, I listen to the message. And the Lord says, this is why I'm coming to you. This is why I'm talking to you about that. This is a revelation to me that when we take Christ as our person, we may have Christ as our life, but we may not experience Christ in full as our person. The second most important point, point F, Christ desires to make His home in our hearts. We take Christ as our person by allowing Him to make His home in our heart. When Christ makes His home in our heart, we will take Him as our person in an adequate way. I'm almost done, Andrzej. Sorry. And this point, which is really key. The Lord wants to make His home in our hearts. He wants to make His home in our hearts. He's in our spirit, but taking Christ as our person means that we allow Him not just to dwell in our spirit, but we allow Him to go further, to spread to our thoughts, our emotions, our will. We say amen to what He's doing. Very often we do not allow Him to spread into our being, but He as a person, He wants to make His home in our hearts. He's in our spirit, but He wants to take over our whole being. The last person talks about when I was preparing for this message, I thought I would spend half more of my time on that point, but it didn't turn out that way. The Apostle Paul is a pattern to us of taking Christ as our person. If you read these verses, you will see that Paul saw that vision, that Christ is his person. And in all these verses, it talks about Paul taking him as his person, that he lived in the inner parts of Christ, that through him Christ was expressed in his living. This hymn, Saints, it's amazing. My old man has been crucified with him, with all its foul corruption deep within, and bearing too its nature serpentine, completely finished. This great fact is mine, I hold it fast. But there's a person in my spirit now, born as a babe, so small, so weak, so low, who by the word's pure milk will grow to be the overcoming inner man in me, to gain my heart. This is the message. Christ, as my person, must possess my heart. This is the point which I omitted, and be preeminent in every part. The former owner died, but holds it still. O Lord, move in. My mind, emotion, will now welcome Thee. Lord, move into our heart. Make your home in our hearts. The last two stanzas also talk about this, but I will not read through them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the word that we heard. This was the first part of the message. Now we move on to the second part. We need to take Christ as our person for the church, as the one new man. Christ is our life. When we read Ephesians 1, we read that God, by the power that operated in Christ, caused him to be raised from the dead. And now because of that power, he gives that life to all that receive him. And he gave him to be head to the church, which is his body, the one who fills all in all. God gave the power to Christ, and now he gives that power to us, the resurrection power. Because of the resurrection power, we are begotten of God, and we become member of his body. And here we see that aspect of the body, and this aspect is related to life. But in this message, we say that there is another aspect. We need to take Christ as our person for that aspect. And this is related to the one new man. In that one new man, Christ is all in and all. I will read through these verses. It's good to read the word. Colossians 3, 9 to 11. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his practices, and have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge, according to the image of who created him. Where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. One new man is related to a person. Do we take ourselves, our soul, as our person who lives? Or do we take Christ as our person, so that there could be the reality of the one new man. When we meet as that barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, Pole, Ukrainian, Slovak, American, I'm not sure if we will. We will have oneness, one accord, the flow, encouragement. For us to experience the church life in the full way, we need to take Christ as our person. Here we have that second part. Many of us may think what the genuine church life, the proper church life is about. What is a proper church life? When does it take place? It's when these two things are fulfilled. When we have that life in us, the life which God caused to operate in Jesus when he raised him from the dead, and because that life is in us, he raises us also. But it's in us so that we can take Christ as our person, so that there could be the reality of the one new man. That there could be a proper church life, genuine church life. In that church life, there will be no me, no you, but there will be Christ. If there is Christ, there is only one opinion. When there is one, when there is Christ, there is only one direction. When there is Christ, there is one love. This is all that we need in the church life. We just need Christ. Not us, but Christ. Praise the Lord. We hope that after this message, these few verses will remain in you. There cannot be Jew, Greek, circumcision, uncircumcision, but Christ is all in and all. And this is the key. If we want to live a proper church life, we need to enjoy, experience that power which God caused to operate in Christ, but also in us. And that power can operate in us every day. In order to experience the proper church life, we need to enjoy Christ, who is everything. He is the good land. He's everything we need. But we need to take Christ as our life so that he can make his home in our hearts. So he could do that. If when he has home in our heart, then the church life becomes proper. We don't fight for our own. We fight together for the building up, for the church, of the church. In that church, when we enjoy God's life, we enjoy Christ, we experience Christ, we take him as our person. Do you know what happens then? God gets the glory. Praise God. God gets the glory in the church. When we have all these things, when we experience God's life, when we experience Christ, when we enjoy Christ, and when we take him as our everything, then the church life becomes real, becomes our daily living, because we don't care about other things. We only care about Christ, and we only care for him to make his home in our hearts. This outline is very rich. I don't want to take too much time for my own speaking. I hope that everyone after this conference, we will have the morning revival on this topic. We can get into it in a deeper way. We call on you, saints. We have the recovery version of the New Testament, and we have the footnotes. Let us dive into them. We have a lot of verses here. Let's get into them. Roman numeral 2, let's read it together. We need to take Christ as our person, for the church as the one new man. The church, the body of Christ, is the one new man to accomplish God's eternal purpose. The church, as the one new man, will accomplish God's eternal purpose. The emphasis on the church being the body of Christ is on life, whereas the emphasis on the church being the one new man is on the person. The Bible reveals that the one new man is a corporate universal man. One, we the believers in Christ are all one with Christ to be the new man. Thus, we all are parts, components of the corporate one new man. Point two, I really enjoy this point. Let us pay attention to it. The one new man is a corporate God-man, the aggregate of all the God-men. When we put all the God-men together, we have the one new man. If each one of us take Christ as our person, when we enjoy his life, we take him as our person, then when we meet together in the church, there will be just one new man. It will be Christ expressed through all the members. Praise the Lord. D. Christ is both the life of the body and the person of the new man. One thing related to that, when we receive the gospel, when we open to the Lord, when we believe into the Lord Jesus Christ, we are born anew. Christ comes into us, we receive his life. But that life, it does not mean that life is already formed enough in us, stable in us, that till the end of our lifetime everything will be all right. If we only take Christ as our life, it may happen that all kinds of situations we are in may cause us to even leave the church life. Just as we started the church life one day, we may leave it. We need to be established, grounded. How can we become grounded, established? Only if we allow Christ to live in us, if we allow him to make his home in our heart, when we take him as our person, when it is no longer I but Christ, then this causes us, this taking Christ as our person, causes us to be established, formed, grounded in him. I think it's in Ephesians 3. When we take Christ, we are being grounded in the church, established in the church. If we care about our living in the church life for the glory of the Lord, let us allow Christ to live in us, taking him as our person. Allow him to make his home in our heart. I read D. Christ is both the life of the body and the person of the new man. One, in the one new man, the natural man has no place. We all have no place in the new man, for here Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. When that happens, praise God. We don't need anything else. Christ is in all of us, so we all have only one person. Not many persons. In the church life, there's many people. But it's not good when there are many persons. We only need one person. Many people, but one person. What God cares for is whether or not we take Christ as our person. Who cares for this? What God cares is not what we can do for Him, what we can do with young people, with children, with practical things in the church life. But God cares for whether or not we take Christ as our person. He cares for that reality. For the new man, we all need to take Christ as our person. Do we want the reality of the one new man? Let us take Christ as our person. In the one new man, there is only one person, Christ. The new man is not about members, but about the person. Therefore, we all need to ask, who is my person? Is it I or the Lord Jesus? Lord Jesus. When I'm about to do something, when I start my service, when I come to the meeting, Lord Jesus, who is my person? Is it me or is it you? If it's me, then thank you, Lord, that you shine on me. Then I turn to you. Janek said about that, I will not try to force myself to change myself. I just take you as my person. I deny my natural person, my natural, even very good man, so that I can live you just like you live the Father. F. For the practical existence of the one new man, the total person of the old man must be put away, and we must live by our new person, Christ. We have Galatians 2:20 here again. It is no longer I who live, and the life which I now live, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God. This is no longer I who live. 1. Realizing that our former person has been crucified, we should no longer live in that person, by that person, and with that person. Our standard for being a Christian should not be right or wrong, good or bad, but a person. The crucial matter is not what we are doing, but who is doing it. Lord Jesus. I think we come to realize more and more that this is not the basic level, but this is a very high level, but it's indispensable level for us to see. Even if you're completely new here, please know that just the salvation, receiving Christ, is just the first stage. There's so much more ahead of us. The crucial matter is not what we are doing, but who is doing it. G, when we live our daily life by taking Christ as our person, especially in making decisions, our living will be the living of the new man. If we take Christ as our new person, as our person, we'll experience the one new man. In the new man, we take Christ as our person to make plans and to decide how we should live. If we take Christ as our person, we will not decide anything in our life by ourselves, for we all are a part of the new man. Praise the Lord. If we are unveiled and enlightened, we will see that today, in the Lord's recovery, we need to rise up together to take Christ as our person for the one new man. Sometimes we wonder. We want the reality of the body of Christ. We want the church to be real and proper. This is what we need. To rise up together. Take Christ as our person. And then we will experience the reality of the one new man. One, the saints in every locality need to be perfected so that they may enter into a situation where they take Christ as their person for the one new man. If all the saints in the Lord's recovery take Christ as their person, then spontaneously we all will be the one new man. When the one new man is perfected, that will be the time for the Lord's coming, and the perfected new man will be the bride. Just as I said before, when we experience the life of Christ, when we enjoy Him as our everything, and we take Him as our life, this will give glory to God and the church. This means we will be the bride that prepared herself, that got herself ready, and the Lord will come back. May this word move in us. May it give us daily inspiration to contact the Lord. Not for us to be introspective, to think whether I'm spiritual or not, but just to allow Him. Lord, just live today in me. Make more home in my heart today. Lord, even if I'm not inclined to allow you to do that, please shine on me. There's hope that you will, if there's hope that you shine on me, then maybe I'll open myself to you. Even though I don't quite to want to give you that key to that room in my being, I just open to you. For me to experience the reality, for me to be one who builds the church as the one new man, so that you could come back. Praise the Lord. Saints, let us take a minute to pray with a person next to us, and then let's come to the microphones and exercise ourselves to speak. So that this message is not over now. When you come up to the microphone, you give us something that the brothers who are speaking didn't speak. Maybe the words that you speak will find a way to somebody who is fighting with the food that's